Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here.
Well,
will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup, and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Mikel Tejas' songs for Carnival 2024, Runaway and DNA, became more than just songs. They became anthems for those of us always yearning for that place called home. But Tejas isn't just a voice. As I dug deeper, I discovered a prolific songwriter who wrote hits like Mind My Business for Patrice Roberts and others. I introduce you to the man behind the music, Mikel Tejas.
Oh, that's a big intro.
Tejas, welcome to the Baja TV podcast.
Thank you for having me. I must say the intro was worth the wait.
Listen, you were worth the wait. Tejas, let me tell you something. I cannot wait. There's so many people who know you, the man performing on stage, and you know, the music, but they don't know the man behind the music. Welcome to the Baja TV podcast and platform and all things Baja TV. It's an honor to have you. As you know, we're all the way in Atlanta, Georgia, and we tried to catch up with you for Carnival, Trinidad Carnival 2025, yeah. But when you are doing as well as you are.
Yeah, you know, Carnival tends to be a very hectic period, you know, so whatever time we have is basically to perform and rest.
Yeah, I don't think you got a rest. I saw you in every party. Don't let me start to list the parties I went to and you were everywhere.
Yeah, boy.
That's a blessing. All praise to the Most High. And you deserve it.
As we said earlier, I'm not complaining, I'm explaining. I love that.
You like that? Take that. But yeah. I tell my family, listen, I'm not complaining, you know. I explain it because I don't want God to think I'd be ungrateful because we are so blessed. Yeah. Let's get into it. You know, as I said to you, I am starstruck and I want to explain what that means because not many people over the years who've been following Baja TV has heard me say I'm starstruck. So I want to be very, very clear. Yes, yeah, you know, you look too bad and everything, and you know, yeah. But it's not a physical kind of starry-eyed kind of compliment. I'm too old for that. Mm-hmm. Listen, you have a work ethic and a talent and a gift like no other. And for that reason, my team and I, we just knew that we had to get you in the studio. We had to talk to the man behind the music. Where do you get this work ethic from? And let me just say one more thing before I allow you to answer. Mm-hmm. You're probably thinking, but oh, you just listen to my music and think I have work ethic. No. We're well researched. And you know what struck me the moment I went on your website? I got everything I needed. It said a lot.
Yeah.
Special.
What I would say is this, right? So just to give like a proper background, I grew up in, I don't like to call it single parent household, but I grew up in like granny, auntie, mommy. I think those are the three pillars in my life.
Hmm.
You know, three amazing women.
Hmm.
When I was very young as well, I watched my mom work three jobs. My mom used to work three jobs, right? So I think I got a lot of my work ethic from her. And, you know, being able to do what I love, because I love doing music. So being able to do what I love was a big, big blessing for me. And I always tell myself, if I'm going to do this music, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. I'm not going to, you know, go half on it. I'm going to put my foot forward. And, and then when I got my little, you know, breaks and little moments, I was like, you know what? Okay, this is motivation to keep going, keep going, keep going. And I think that is where I got a lot of my work ethic and motivation to, you know, push forward, especially music. Music is something that we tend to, you know, it's the lines are very blurred where it's like, I'm not necessarily working, but it is a job. You know, it is a job and you have to wake up and work hard.
It's a business.
Exactly, exactly. So it's just that balance, you know?
Yeah. So you credit this work ethic that we now get to benefit from to these three amazing queens in your life.
Definitely.
Caribbean mothers and grandmothers and aunties. We're the best in the business.
Yes.
Yeah. So that wasn't a single parent home. That's plenty. That's
a village.
Yeah, it's a village.
My mother have that. My mother always says that because my mom migrated to the States when I was like early teenage years.
Mm-hmm.
And she always credits the village. She said, "Boy, thank God for our village." Mm-hmm. You know, that is what was able to have to cover you. And you know, also where I grew up in a place called Gonzales, right? It's in between Belmont and Lavantil.
In Trinidad and Tobago.
So, I mean, people tend to view it as, you know, I don't like that word, you know, a ghetto or whatever. I don't like that word.
Definitely a lower income community that has produced some of the most outstanding.
Like, you know, Joey Lewis, Tambu, even Denise Belfon, you know, and I could keep going. But, and I said that to say, you know, again, just having a village, having like, you know, neighbors who like family, I think all those things, you know, is a very and just overall is hardworking people. So again, being able to do what I love and being around all these hardworking people, and it really motivated me to just put my best foot forward and put in the 1,000 hours, you know?
Yeah. And it says, it goes back to those ladies because the converse applies as well. You have people who grew up in those same areas and this was not the end result.
Yeah.
So it's not where you grew up, it's what was put in you.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Where you grew up.
Definitely.
Well, thank you, moms. Thank you, auntie. Thank you, grandma. Are they all alive still?
Yes. Alive and doing well. I think one of my biggest blessings was just, you know, being able to spend time with family during all the hectic madness, you know.
They must be so proud, Mikael.
Yeah. They, you know, especially my granny as well. Last year for Carnival, when it was DNA and, you know, the whole road match conversation, they sent me a video of my grandmother and she was like, DNA.
Oh, that is so sweet. You know, I'm afraid to ask because, I mean, it's kind of like the typical Caribbean conversation, you know. Where was your father in all of this?
No, he's there. I think what happened is, you know, along the lines of it, because I spent some time, when my mom migrated, I spent some time living with him.
Okay.
And we have a good relationship. He's there. He necessarily wasn't the most supportive of the music because, you know, coming from his background, they never understood that music could be a livelihood.
Of course.
They viewed it as
I understand.
A passion.
Yeah. It's a hobby.
It's a hobby. Yeah. They never really, and because of their brought up see and
yes.
you know, their view of the world was so limited yeah. in that era.
Yeah.
You know, I had to literally prove to them that like this is possible, like we could make a livelihood from this, you know.
And you can't blame them because many generations ago the only way out was traditional education.
Yeah, doctor people. Lawyer.
Doctor lawyer. And no other career was really mattered,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So you can't blame them. The creatives had to fight hard to get notice and to prove, and even athletes. Like, you know, when I interview my athletes, they'll tell you that their parents thought that some of them, parents thought they were wasting time because back then, maybe that sport never gave you a livelihood, but times have changed.
Mm-hmm.
And people like yourself, others, myself, we've caught up with the times and we are born in the right time that we are able to make a living from our creativity.
Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah. Let's talk about what I believe are the two songs that put Mikel Tejer on the map. And let me ask you something. Am I pronouncing your name correctly, Tejer?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, perfect, actually.
Thank you. Yes. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes.
I feel so good, you know? But can I tell you something? I
have
a confession to make. I realized that people were mispronouncing your name. They're saying Tejer, you know? Trinidadians could mash up your name, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't ever go against it. For me, it's like, you know, once you do like Tejer, I'll take it. But anything outside of that, I'll be like, oh God, please.
Well, I feel that in that song you sang this year, Tejer Never Again, I can't sing it.
That's right.
I say that was your hint to us.
Yes. Yes.
The souls connected. I said, this man trying to tell us how to pronounce the name. So I use the pronunciation from there.
Yes, that's exactly. And that's why.
He has mispronounced his name.
The team and I was debating it. And I told them, I said, let's put it there because people.
They don't know how to pronounce the name. So, ladies and gentlemen, Mikel Tejer is his name, not Mikel Tejer.
but I don't go against it.
Once they could spell the name right on the check.
That is important.
Correct.
And on the flyers.
On the flyers. You are such a boss. I want to go through your repertoire.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because everybody want to come and rewind and jam. And people, a lot of people I know, started knowing you. I think it's fair to say that you became world famous on the Soca International circuit with Runaway and DNA. Full stop.
Yeah, definitely.
For those of us who knew you also from Trinidad and Tobago, you know the song the year before. But the game changed.
Yeah.
You didn't even give us one. You gave us two. You wanted to show us that, hey, take me seriously.
Definitely. For the past 3 years, I've given like, especially this year, I was able to do a bit more. Mm-hmm. So for me, always, every year, growth.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Yeah. It's about giving them more. So the year before would have been Hall of Fame and Mass.
Yeah, and I love those.
Runaway.
The world still did not grasp the magnitude of your talent until, you know, I want to tell you about my experience with Runaway.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Before we get into your repertoire, I have a very bad relationship with Winter. That's because it's mildly.
Everybody. All West Indians.
All West Indians.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I'm sitting in my office on my soca playlist and I'm hearing this song. I say, wait, but I heard that song first, Runaway.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, hold on, who's this? I didn't hear DNA as yet, huh? And this is not a joke. If you go back to my reels from Carnival 2024,
yeah,
it was all you, you know.
Honored.
Yeah. But what was special, Mikel, is the psychology of the mind that you tapped into. When I tell you, we were in pain. That, I remember that week that I left to come home, my family and I. Winter was brutal. It was like, and this Georgia, we're not accustomed to bad winter, but it's just getting worse. And it was like 13 or 14 degrees that day. And all I'm hearing is Runaway in my playlist. And I have to thank you for that. On behalf of me and my entire family, extended family, relatives, and everybody,
mm-hmm,
who just, during winter time, we're just glad we have Carnival to run away to. And you tapped into the psychology, the nostalgia with DNA and everything of the mind. You've given us an everlasting anthem.
Well, it's funny enough that you said that, right? Because what happened is, again, my mom lives in the States.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, you know, it's something that, you know, she will talk about. She'll talk about, boy, I can't come home for Carnival, you know, missing it like that. And yes, it was just tapping into that. And then also spending so much time in New York that year in particular. I remember we went to this event, boy, and they played the original Explainer.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that parallel. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the emotion that I felt just being at that event from, you know, the Caribbean diaspora in New York was so, like, just heartwarming. And I was like, if there's any way I could kind of build on this story, you know, because he's talking about him. But whatever happened to Lauren, you know, so basically continuing the story, but the story is basically a spin-off from, you know, conversations I having with my mom, because, you know, she literally felt that way. It's like, so cool, I want to come home, you know.
Yeah. It's amazing, because I was having the same discussion with one of my producers. I said, when we were doing the research for this interview, and I said, you know, and you just said it, I said, he didn't even take Explainer song. He took us back, and this is what is prolific about you as an artist. You took us back to a time that all of us remember from our childhood and our early lives, where he talk about Lauren, no cry, I'm leaving. He talk about it. He was leaving.
Yeah, yeah.
And you now, with your prolific writing skills and whatever you have going on in that amazing brain of yours, decided to say, but what about Lauren? Lauren is in our party too.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is so dope.
Exactly. And, you know, just to expand on that a little bit more.
Yeah.
To see not just the diaspora, but even home here now. Because there is a line in the song where I said, she come out for a good time. Say a prayer and she outside. Because the season comes so fast. Just also giving thanks now. Like she also aware and giving thanks. And it's because the season come and go so fast, and she back outside in the cold again. You know, she wanna come back home. And I think a lot of the diaspora just, it's so crazy that they go abroad, you know. But just being abroad makes them truly, truly embody what it is to be Caribbean, and they want to come back home. And they're thinking you're leaving home, and I ain't got time for them, and I move on. But it's like, you can't really cut that navel string, you know?
Nobody, not even the great Explainer, has been able to capture the nostalgia the way you did in your writing. I'm telling you, I'm one of them living abroad, and I had to come home. I must have a play. I taken a runaway.
Yeah.
Like, that will be the song every year. You're blessed.
Definitely. I always get mentions, especially around after Christmas. around Christmas time, yeah.
Let's talk about DNA.
Uh-huh. DNA. DNA was really a really emotional song for me.
Tell me.
It started off as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
It started off as a joke because the year before that we were traveling a good bit. And you know, we weren't home as much.
Yeah.
So my manager and I, we had like this joke now where we'd be like, you know, ah boy, we back home, no place like home.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, so it was a bit of a joke. And then it's like different things come together. So I'll start off firstly. When I experienced Carnival the year before, I was on the road with Lost Tribe. Mm-hmm. It was really a really great experience, boy. It was a really big up to the whole Lost Tribe, Val, Ayinka, and the whole Lost Tribe family. They really like a family. Lost Tribe
this year, and I didn't know until I see the picture with you and the duck. You looking at each other. We'll talk about that after. And I wasn't that man.
No, well, we were actually shooting a video for a song to come. So that's like a little...
Got it. Yeah, go back to DNA.
But just experiencing so much love on the road now. We were on Mokarapo Road. And late in the evening, and I just there, like a fly on the wall, watching everybody's face, everybody's facial expression. And it's like you could see love on everybody's face. Like I'm talking about, I am scanning the entire street and I'm watching this man whining on this girl, this man here, everybody just like ecstatic and happy.
Yeah.
And that's why I had the whole idea of when we're outside, is that ocean of love now, because I'm seeing so much people and it's just love on their faces.
Wow.
And then I kept working on the song, and then we were traveling and stuff like that. And then when we were, I think it was late May,
mm-hmm.
and I sat down with Michael Montano, who's Tano. He's like the number one producer in Trinidad.
Really?
Yeah, that's the guy. He's behind a lot of hits like Kes, Tack Back.
Wow.
Coco T, him and I wrote on Coco T and he produced Coco T. I could go on and on.
But we will later on.
Yeah. So I sat down with him and then we were able to kind of flesh out the idea and bring it to life. And then it's only like later down, probably like I would say August. I was able to like fully get the concept of, you know, DNA, because I just had it as home before, but I didn't like the word home.
Mm-hmm.
I had another song at the time named Home, so I didn't want to like use that song and stuff like that. So that's
because you got it right.
Yeah,
you got it right. Many of us were able to connect immediately with everything you said with Runaway and DNA. But we can put it into such words. And you left nothing on the table.
Definitely. And the only crazy thing is, when I finished this song, I had to travel to Soka in Japan. So I was in Japan while we were mixing the song.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got the mix for the song, I was walking. It's crazy. I always remember that moment. There's a place in Okinawa, right? I was walking down Okinawa. Mm-hmm. And I had my headphones in and I listened to it and I love this song, but it's not correct. It's not feeling correct to me. And I spent the whole soca in Japan, that whole time there, just listening to where I could fix it. As soon as I came back from Japan, I went straight to the studio, re-record it. And then from Japan, we had to go to Miami Carnival. So literally 2 days before Miami Carnival, I was in Trinidad re-recording the whole vocals, shooting the video, piece of the video, then go to Miami, come back from Miami, finish shoot the video, and then put it out literally the next week. So it was a bit of a rush, but...
Yeah, but well worked. Thank you. Thank you for that body of work. Thank you for... And I mean, let's talk about... I mean, people just think... Some people... think it's just DNA, Hall of Fame, da da da. They don't understand who Mikel Tejer is, but Baja understand, because the Baja crew of producers, we did our work and we did some digging.
Yeah, we are fine.
Well, I sure I find everything. So I know you started at 14 when you did, because you have spoken about this. You've always given Destra her flowers for when you did.
Queen.
Yeah, that, I'm a girl, you know. Destra started the Baja show, you know. She Allison and Sophie.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my girl. That's my queen. So, you know, with Carry On, and you said you started at 14. I mean, you knew from 14 that you had the ability to write hits, right?
Well, I didn't necessarily know that. And this is why I would always give, you know, props to, again, my aunt, one of my brothers. So I was working Hilo, which is Marcy at the time.
Yes. Well, it was Hilo at the time, it's Marcy now.
Yeah. Which was Hilo at the time, Marcy now.
Yeah.
Right. And I'd gotten about $3,000 in tips, right?
Wow.
I used to like little music. I was always into music, but I was able to seal up like about $3,000 in tips.
Wow.
So I was like, I feel I want to do a song, because I used to make like little beats and write little songs and stuff. And I, you know, I was one of those people who, when I see songs released, I would look at the credits. And I always just see this guy by the name of Casey Phillips. Right, he was the head of precision. He's the head of precision, who is like basically the guy with the most hits. Like Marshall, when you talk Marshall Montano, you have to mention Precision Productions. This is Mr. Fett, Vibes Cadon, Like a Boss, Ministry of Road.
Yeah,
you know,
but let's come back to talk about you.
Yeah, right. But just seeing this, I message him.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
On Facebook, and I say, but this man ain't gonna really respond to me, but I'm gonna shoot my shot. So I message him, he actually responded. So I was like, you know, hey bro, would love to do some work out this song here. If I would like it to, like, you know, record it, mix something or whatever. And he was like, okay, but here I am thinking I'm going to meet him. I didn't know he have a whole, he had an engineer in the studio, so he basically, you know, give rent the studio to me and allow the engineer, who was Ashwin C. Gubin at the time. So went down there with my aunt, because I was very underage and didn't know where I was going in Palmis. I never been to Palmis before.
Okay.
So travel with me. So we went straight down to South. The studio, record it, do all the song, finish the song now. When we finish the song, he is to walk in. And, you know, he greeted everybody, hi, whatever. He listens to the song now, and he is like, yeah, man, the song's good. You ever think about writing for other artists? And I was like, nah, not really my vibes. I'm more trying to this and stuff. And my aunt, while I am getting that, saying that out loud, my aunt is like, hush. You write for other artists. And yeah, he then was like, okay, cool, well, I'll take your email, whatever. And then he sent me a couple beats. And of course, everything I wrote like about three songs. And I was like, yeah, this is for Marshall. Yeah, this is for Marshall. Because of course, you know, every songwriter at that time
wanted to write for Marshall.
For Marshall Montana, like that's the guy. And it never worked that way. Until I wrote like the third or fourth song, and I was just like, I just wrote it. Yo, this have something. And then again, all this time I'm in Trinity Mocha, so I'm like about 13-14. So
this is the high school you went to in Trinidad.
Yeah. Right. And I am there in the library waiting for the email. So when I got the email from him, you know, when I see Destra Carry On Tess. Okay, listen to it. And I was like, yo, Destro, boy, we. You know, and that's when it started to go from there. And then it was Destro, then Blacks, and then it kept going on and on. Iowa.
And Iowa, Olatunji, Nyla Blackman, Patrice. Yeah.
It kept going from
Marshall, there. Eventually, you get him.
Yeah, eventually. Eventually, you know. Eventually.
Now you're there. And now you're there.
Yeah. And that's a big blessing.
A big blessing. No, but so I heard through the grapevines that some artists didn't really take your writing seriously. Some people rejected your songs. Is that
yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean,
how did that make you feel? Is that the reason you decided that you were going to jump into the ring because you were in the background all along writing all these big hits?
No. What really made me... One, I always wanted to be an artist, but I just felt at that time in my life, I felt like... I knew I wasn't ready. I wouldn't say I felt like. I just knew I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
And anything I do, I want to do 100. So I felt like if I jumped into being an artist, I wouldn't be able to do it 100%.
Yeah.
And I would say that writing for other artists and then seeing, okay, if I write this song for this person, and I just find the execution wasn't the way I would want it to be or how I would execute it. And that was the first step. The first step was, I just find this man and execute the song the way I would want it to be executed, boy. I feel I want to try my hand. Try it. And, you know, a little small vibes, as we say, a little small thing.
No small thing, of course.
And I just kept releasing, even when I was writing for the artist, I kept releasing music for myself. And eventually I was able to, you know, go out there. And then the next thing to that, I think a lot of younger artists tend to look past now. I think you have to go through that phase where you're performing and people are watching you like, who is this guy? What is he doing? Come off the stage. Like, I went through that phase. I was singing everywhere. I did a whole Carnival season performing in every ice slam, and I'm opening the show and they're giving me like 3 minutes and I'm just performing. And no, but that's what helped me to grow and get the confidence to perform on stage, because
and now you're everywhere.
Yeah, because I mean, to reach to the big stages, you have to be willing to, you know, make those gradual steps now.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I say that to say those are the things that pushed me to, you know, be more on the forefront as an artist. I think I wanted my music to represent, I wanted at least songs that I felt represented me. I wanted to represent them.
Yeah.
Versus giving it to somebody and then, you know, having to wait on their timing and you know, and how they would want to bring the version of the song and stuff like that. I just felt like I wanted to sing the songs the way I wanted to sing them and perform them the way I would want to perform them, you know?
Let me tell you something. I would have cried if you gave another artist Runaway, DNA, higher power. I would have bawled.
Yeah.
Like, some things are for you.
Definitely. And I feel that.
Yeah. So how do you know which one is yours and which one to give up? Because, I mean, you wrote Drink Water and Mind My Business for Patrice, and that was... Yeah. In my opinion, the biggest hit that Patrice has ever had. That's my opinion.
Okay.
And you know why? Because I'm on the other side of the world. And when I'm seeing reels and TikTok video with Jada Pinkett Smith and this one doing Drink Water and Mind My Business and that, I mean.
Yeah.
Proof is in the pudding. You reach. You know? Like, man, you're the business. Like, and I also heard that, I don't know if this is true, you can clarify that for me, that you weren't necessarily interested in soca originally as a genre.
No, that's actually not true at all.
Okay, I'm glad Claire appeared in the Badger TV.
Yeah, I was always interested in soca, because ever since I knew myself, I have always been interested in soca. But what I would say is I've always been trying to experiment with soca. So even if you listen to my music to today, you know, it's not like, you know, jump up and wave. It's like a little bit more emotion, a little bit more musicality.
Higher power.
Yeah, yeah. So it's on, and I'll tell you why, how I know when a song is for me. I think the message, once I can live with the message of what I am singing, it's for me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't necessarily drink rum. I'm not really a drinker, but I could write a rum song.
Yeah, you can't sing a drink rum song.
Yeah, that's not really the message that I would push personally. But if I wrote the song, like Wadix, Beat Rum Bad,
ooh,
you know, wrote and produced that song, but I am not necessarily a drinker. So to go out there and sell this song on stage and sell this whole image of something, I am not, you know? So that's how I know when a song is for me. Like, I believe in a higher power. You know, freedom is in my DNA.
Mm-hmm.
I need a little runaway. Those things are things that I could, you know.
Your soul person. And as I said, my soul connected, and not just mine, and many people in this world. I mean, people who are soul people would get you immediately based on the songs that you deliver.
Yeah.
You know? Let's talk about higher power. And before I go into higher power, which, I mean, congrats on that. That was a big song this carnival as well.
Thank you.
It is the correlation, I don't know, I want a better word, I'm lost for words at this time, but the similarities between you and the great David Rudder is mind-blowing. How do you feel about being compared to Rudder?
I mean, that's a big honor, to be honest. That's a big, big honor, because he is somebody I definitely look up to, and I view him as a hero. I think his music, to be able to have music that spans almost three generations is something I aspire to do, you know?
Yeah. So
definitely. That's a big, big blessing to me.
Yeah. I mean, for those of us who were also in Rudder's time, and it's like we're seeing, you have this exceptional ability to bring the past and make it present.
Yeah. Well, to me, right, I would say COVID was a great reset. I was able to take a lot of time during COVID and go through a lot of our archives. So a lot of time listening to, and these are my top three.
Yeah.
In no particular order.
Mm-hmm.
Baron, The Mighty Shadow, and David Rudder. Those three are...
Really?
I really, really dive in.
Your creative inspirations in terms of soca artists.
Yeah, those are the artists that I really, really look up to, and I put them on that pedestal because of their music and the way they would tell a story and their melodies and just how their music were able to last through a lifetime because of what we're talking about now.
Yeah.
So that was what I was able to do during COVID, really dive into the music.
Yeah.
Really experience that. Yo, we have a lot of amazing stuff. And I think as youths that don't know, because we're not as educated on the past, you know, there isn't stuff that has been taught in schools. There isn't anybody telling us. So you have to like actively research and go out there and find it for yourself. And that's what I was able to do. And I felt like I don't want to hoard this. I want to find a way.
That's what you are doing, Mikhail.
Yeah.
And thank you for that.
Bring the foundation and the roots of what we are, bring it forward in a modern way, of course, because there are little children who don't know about Explainer Lauren, but Runaway, and that now is how they
version of that. Yeah.
That's how they bridge. So now they would, because their mother now is like two different generations conversating.
Yeah.
So when the younger generation, which is my generation here, Runaway, like it's real bad. And then they would, your mother would be like, but you know where that from?
Yeah.
That's a conversation here. That's the bridge of the different generations coming together now. And I think just doing it within music for me is one step. And then you see different things start to trickle along and that communication happening.
It's so funny you say that, because that's like the conversation I'll have with my 21-year-old son. I was like, you know where that song come from? That's literally what it, because he's essentially American, even though he's Trinidadian, he's American. Mm-hmm. So he wouldn't know anything about that. But he knows about you. And you are the guy that is that guy for him. You know what I mean? So I heard again, anybody who listens to any of your songs for the first time prior to 2025
mm-hmm.
would hear the spiritual rhythm of your music as well, you know? Mm-hmm. But in more recently, with
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blast tennis ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Your power, and coupled with like the video for Higher Power, then I saw a hint of I don't want to put anything you do in a box, but there was a spiritual element to it, and I wondered if you know about your spirituality or your religious beliefs, because some Trinidadians would liken it to the Baptist religion, or others internationally would call it something else. Is there a religious component, a personal bias, a personal experience, rather, for want of a better word, for you with religion or spirituality that you then bring to the music, particularly with the song Higher Power?
So, naturally, I always say I am not a religious person, but I'm a very spiritual person.
Right.
I think... to be honest, I believe that just the whole word of religion is a kind of segregating thing, because, again, we all believe in God. We all believe in a higher power.
Yeah.
You know, whether it is Allah, Jesus Christ, Lakshmi, whatever it is that gets you to be a good person and wakes you up in the morning to do better, I am all for it. And I say that to say it is a bit biased based on my brought up. So my grandmother, before she converted to Pentecostal, she was a Baptist.
Okay. I know I hear it somewhere in there.
So that's we kind of grew up around it.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, Best Village. You know, every year we do it Best Village. And then also like where my house is in Gonzales.
Mm-hmm.
Literally a stone throw away is a Baptist church.
Right. So the Baptist church to your upbringing.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'm also part of a group, and I actually traveled when I was younger to England, Liverpool, and Canada with them. They are called Belmont Freetown Folk and Culture Group. It's like a cultural group.
Yeah.
You know, and they do like traditional dance, which is more Afrocentric and stuff like that. So again, being within that element, it is a bit a bias. And even the drummers and dancers in the video, they are from Belmont Freetown.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
It's a whole community.
You're paying homage to your upbringing and your cultural beliefs and stuff.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah, I saw it. I felt it in the music, and certainly I checked it in the video as well. I'm like, there must be something here.
You wanna know the crazy thing about that song?
Yeah.
The crazy thing about that song is that going all over and performing it for the carnival season, you know, I saw people of East Indian descent appreciate the song a bit more than people of African descent, which was like so. I don't know, use the word weird, but it was just surprising.
Surprising.
Because I've had so much people of East Indian descent come up to me and say, "Yo, you see that Higher Power? Yeah. You see that boy? You see that song?" And I'm talking about
Mikhail. We all have a soul.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why I said, and that's why I made this song in a way where I'm not, even if it's more Afrocentric, you know, what I'm talking about has nothing to do with religion.
Okay. It's, I didn't get that from
your spirituality and what you connect to the higher power.
And I love how, you know, at the end of the day, whether you choose to be Roman Catholic, Pentecost, whatever you choose to call yourself, because we're all the same thing. So whatever box you choose to put yourself in, we're all under a higher power.
Definitely, definitely, definitely.
That's amazing. What do you see yourself in 5 years?
I see myself. It's so much different things. So one, of course, you know, growing, being a bit more forward in the music. But I also see myself doing more outside of music. Like, I think there are so much people in need now.
Yeah.
And I want to find a way within the next 5 years to take what I'm doing in music, mm-hmm. take what I've done in music, and try to help people in the real world. I mean, I'm kind of doing it already, but on a larger scale.
Yeah.
I think there are so much people in need, and we have to find ways. We can't just sing music and perform. And I think it's people give us so much love, and because of people, we're able to, you know, pay our bills and you know, afford a particular comfort of lifestyle. So I think with that, we had to find ways of giving back and doing more for people. So for me, that's something I see in the next 5 years for sure.
Yeah. What about the love life?
Yeah, man. I mean,
any special lady, any, you know, any kids?
No kids.
They're expensive.
Very. So another person who I would say is like a big pillar in my life, right? He's not here with me, my uncle.
Right.
And he, I lived in South Africa for almost a year with him.
What part of South Africa?
Johannesburg.
Okay. I've been to South Africa. I love it. Yeah.
Really nice place. Beautiful, beautiful place.
But it reminds me more than Joburg.
I understand. Yeah, Cape Town is really more warmer, nicer, the beach.
Yeah.
You know, it's more that. It's more that. Cape Town and Durban, and a lot of people more prefer
Durban.
Yeah. But I say that to say he's like a hero to me.
Oh, you know,
he was one of the people that believed in me to be an artist. So before when I was writing, I remember I was in South Africa and I was recording a demo to send off again to Marshall. You know? The Marshall song.
Yeah.
And he heard me recording it and he was like, he used to call me Bigger. He used to say, Bigger, you had to start to sing your songs, boy. A voice, sing your songs. So he was the first person to really push that artist, like be an artist.
Yeah.
And he's somebody I truly, truly look up to, like look up to him like immensely.
Yeah.
And when I ask him, you know, like, what are one of the things that, you know, you look back on your life and you'd regret? And he was like, you know, one of my regrets is like, you know, my poor choices in women. And that's something I always stick with. So that's why I very, very particular. Yeah. Very, very particular. Very, very particular.
But I think you had, based on where we started this, how we started this interview, you've had three amazing examples.
Yeah.
So that you wouldn't get caught up in the stuff. I think you would know what to look for in a woman.
Definitely.
When that time comes.
Definitely.
You know, because my husband always says to me, it's very difficult to find a woman when the lights are on. Like when you made it, you don't really know who is who. Because now you are the, I mean, I don't want to say you're at the top of your career because you have way further to go, but you're up there. How do you find somebody to love you for you and not for who you are, not for who you appear to be?
I guess you just have to figure it out. You never know until you know.
Those three ladies are alive. They'll help you figure it out.
Definitely. Well, they're there, no? They're there. They always, I ain't sure. I don't know. You know? They don't play.
They don't play. Well, I'm glad to know that you're still on the market because I know a few people who, that do think you're so dope, you know. So if you would take recommendations from a woman of a particular age, another auntie, you know, but you take your time. That's the recommendation I have, you know. Take your time because you really deserve the best. You are Trinidad's finest.
I do my best.
I want to thank you for the music. I really want to thank you. Teja, you're a boss. I know it's just only getting started for you and you're already at the top of the soca industry. It's only getting started. You know, I wish you a lot of blessings and abundance. You really, you and others, but for me in particular, you really touch my soul when at a time when you need home, you know, and there's nothing else. And thank you for the sacrifices you've made to get to this point.
A lot.
To bring this music to us. Keep writing. And may the higher power continue to guide you to know, listen, this song is for you. This song is for Marshall. This song is for Patrice. Because I don't want you to get the wrong song. Nobody. Yeah, that's that.
Thank you. And I trust I truly, truly appreciate that. And I do wish you as well all the best. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. This is a very important platform. We want to do the work. You know, some people are trying to be famous. We trying to do the work. We trying to get the best out there. We trying to put the best out there. People need to know who our real stars are. And this is not about a persona.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the gift that you have, the talent that you have, and what you've been able to do with this, the work, the body of work that you've produced. Thank you.
Not a problem. And more stuff to come.
Listen, we are real. Next time we meet it in person, you know how we do it.
Definitely.
Magic style.
Definitely.
Thank you. This was an amazing experience. I have nothing else to put on the table.
Yeah. Man, that's good. That's good. That's good. As I said before, open book. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Thank you. The only thing I'll be doing, tell Auntie and Grandma and Mom, I'll be looking for the wife for you because I'm good at that. You know? I'm taking auditions, ladies and gentlemen.
I will tell you.
But ladies, I'm taking auditions. I am appointing myself to find a lady, a missus, a wife, whatever Teja wants. Speak to Vaja. Your mother will probably crack up when she hears this.
What she would rule.
Yeah. I'm sure she will trust me. All right, guys, don't forget to follow Mikel Teja on Instagram, Facebook, everywhere, and
stream everywhere.
All platforms.
All platforms.
When it comes to Mikel Teja, you don't know where you don't know who's gonna be singing his song, and you don't know what he's doing next. So it sounds like he has big things coming, and I can't wait to talk to him some more later on about those things. Teja, thank you. Bless you, brother.
Bless.
Cheers.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.